up in a real life Christian church.
That would have been hilarious.
We ask that you please pay your attention to today's announcements.
Vine is heading back up to the Tennessee Christian Teen Convention in Gatlinburg, January 10th through the 12th. If you're unfamiliar with TCTC, we travel up to Gatlinburg for a weekend youth Christian retreat. Currently, the price for registration is $85, which lasts until October 31st. Afterwards, the price goes up to $95, and the final deadline for registration is December 2nd. There will be an additional cost for lodging as well, which will be communicated once we have a final headcount after December 2nd. If your student would like to come, let Noah know so he can get them registered.
We need a huge amount of candy for Trunk or Treat. Grab a couple of bags of candy to donate. Those who decorate their cars will provide their own candy, but we need lots of additional candy. Make sure the bags have individually wrapped pieces of candy in them. Place them in one of the drop-off locations that are available at each of the doors entering the sanctuary.
It is time to sign up to put your car in the Trunk or Treat event. What do you do for Trunk or Treat? Well, I'll tell you. Decorate your car, wear a costume, purchase candy, and give it out. By signing up, you will commit to show up. This event will be rain or shine. Sign up at the welcome desk in the lobby.
Fall is a beautiful season of change. The leaves are all turning colors outside, and the cooler temperatures are in the air. With fall comes many activities, such as pumpkin patches, and before long, the holidays will be here. Life is busy, and we are pulled in every direction. Satan loves to keep us distracted with busyness. Ladies, if he can keep us distracted with busyness, then we can never grow closer to God. We need to take time and reset our focus and our life toward growing closer to the Lord. Join us on October 28th for a kickoff to Fireside Devotions at the Lloyd Home. For more information, contact the church office.
Our church is blessed with a top-notch ministry team, and we love them and all they do for Christ, the church, and community. Kirby Lloyd, our senior minister, Noah Johnstone, our youth and young adult minister, Donna Andrew, our children's director, Kenny Baldwin, our music director, and Leslie Lloyd, our front office administrator. Gift bags are available in the main worship entrance where you can leave an expression of your appreciation. Gift cards, cash, notes of appreciation, invitations to lunch or coffee, you name it. Come on, get creative, and show some love to those who labor among us.
One. Two. Intro. Two. Three. Four. Refrain. Verse 2.
so much for coming, and thank you for supporting the youth group, and please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've given us, and please bless everyone in this room and let them hear your word and hopefully become closer to you, Lord. And please let us show these people how we praise God and just let them feel your glory. And in Jesus' name, amen.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
You are good.
may be seated.
One, two, one, two, three, four, five, six. Verse one.
Father's arms are open. interlude.
To take communion today, I'd like to take a moment to reflect on why this. is so important in our lives as believers. Communion is a time for us to remember. It's easy to get caught in the busyness of life. Our responsibilities, our schedules, and even the music we listen to. But right now, we're invited to pause and focus on the central truth of our faith. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-26, Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" When Jesus shared this meal with his disciples, he knew it was coming. He knew that he would soon endure unimaginable suffering for our sins. And yet in that moment, he gave thanks. Jesus wasn't just offering bread and wine. He was offering himself, his body, his blood, and his love. Communion isn't just some ritual that we do. It's an intimate act of remembering Christ's love for us, his ultimate sacrifice. It's a reminder that our salvation wasn't free, that it cost Jesus everything. Yet he gave it to us freely. As we hold the bread and cup today, we remember that the body that was broken for us, and the blood that was sacrificed for us, was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. And as we reflect on that sacrifice, we can also reflect on how we're called to respond. Jesus gave everything for us. What are we giving back to him? As a musician, I often think about how worship is more than just the songs we sing or the notes we play. It's the condition of our hearts. Communion is a beautiful moment of worship where we can align our hearts with the heart of Christ. In this moment, we're invited to come to the table as we are, broken, imperfect, but deeply loved by our Savior. So as we take this bread and drink from this cup, let's do so with hearts full of gratitude, remembering that Jesus is with us now, just as he was with his disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in humility and gratitude. Thank you for the incredible gift of your Son, Jesus. As we take this bread and drink from this cup, help us to remember the sacrifice that was made for us. May our hearts be aligned with yours. May we live out the love you've shown us in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Lord, thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for the generosity you've showed us. Please give us that generosity and allow us to use it to spread your word and to grow your kingdom and to touch the heart of others around us. Thank you for bringing us all together today, and please allow your word to stick with people in this room. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Howdy, y'all. My name's River. I'm a relatively new addition to the Vine, the youth wing. And today we're just gonna be talking about peace, finding peace in the Lord. But I'm gonna start off with how I ended up here, because it's kind of a weird story. So it's a Wednesday afternoon, okay? I walk into school. Everything is pretty much normal, right? I have some looming deadlines and a lot of things to do, but it's fine. I'm managing. And I walk in on this Wednesday afternoon with everything in my life just kind of going wrong all at the same time. And as I walk into my home room, my church club, the leaders of the church club, are having a meeting, which has never happened before. And mind you, I walked into that room every morning and it was never happening. And so I was like, you know what? Bless you. You know what? It's fine. Like, I'm just gonna go on about my day, whatever. I left the room, yada, 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 so on. So later that afternoon, the sophomore class, which Gracie and I are a part of at North Cobb, was called into the auditorium just for a typical yearly speech that they give us, whatever. Well, Coach Queen, one of the coaches at the school, likes to give a pep talk every year, inspire us, talk about our futures and everything, make a good mark, whatever. He, at the exact same time, he mentioned Jesus. Okay, the only time he mentioned Jesus, briefly, Gracie shot me a text, within a millisecond. Hey, are you interested in coming to my church's lock-in in 2 weeks? So me, I kind of turned away from religion whenever I was 10. I have not been very religious in a long time. And hesitantly, don't know what came over me, I said yes. So then that Saturday, the Saturday before the Saturday of the lock-in, it was the hottest marching band rehearsal I've ever survived, okay? We were out on the field, it was noon, the sun was blazing, and so I'm holding my equipment, because I'm on the color guard, and I was had my head down, whatever, and right next to my foot, there was a silver cross charm. And so I was that feels significant. And so then I put it in my pocket and moved on. The next day, on Sunday, the Sunday before the next week, I found a cross sticker next to my car. It was on the parking lot next to my car. So I was okay, coincidence? I think not. And a week passed. And during that week, I got reached out to by a few of my color guard friends who were leaders of the church club. And they were you should come. And I was okay. Didn't, but at the time, I do now. But Saturday, Friday rolls around in August, and I come to the lock-in, and I really honestly just expected to be standing behind Gracie the whole time, because I'm a very extroverted person, but it's a church, and I had not stepped foot in a church in a good 7 years. And so I went in kind of apprehensive of just what I was going, my mindset going in, right? Well, I got here, and I was going to stay with Gracie the whole time. That was the plan. I was already thinking about it. I was just going to be with her. Well, I come in, and we're being led by this weird ginger guy named Noah, and he immediately, we go to play Capture the Flag, and he splits us into two teams. And guess who didn't end up on the same team as me? Gracie. So Gracie was in crutches at the time, mind you. So she's downstairs, and we're upstairs guarding our flag. So there's no way, really, for us to talk. So I'm immediately pushed out of my comfort zone, and I meet all of these great, new, amazing people, and I form all of these brand new connections, and I made all of these new friends, and I found, like, in the midst of this stressful time in my life, I mean, everything that you can possibly think of going wrong was going wrong. And in the midst of all of it, I spent a weekend that I should have spent doing my schoolwork at the church, having fun, and it was amazing. It was great. And not even just that, the 11 o'clock hour rolled around, the worship hour. And while everybody else was going around having their quiet time and doing the stations, Gracie and I went into one of the rooms, and we had a very serious heart-to-heart about why I was here. What was I really here for? What was my heart seeking? Because I wouldn't have said yes if there wasn't a drive behind it, if that makes sense. So we have a heart-to-heart, and I realize that after all these years, after having my back turned to the Lord for 7+ years, it's time to turn back to him, and it's time to find him. So the next day, she invited me to church, and I went, and I've been coming here ever since August. In that time, as everything around me was still kind of in chaos, I looked to the Lord for guidance, and I prayed. And during my prayer and during my journey back to the Lord, I realized that my sin was keeping me from him. And I mean, I'm sure, well, obviously, everyone in this room has sinned. And it's about why that disconnects you from the Lord, right? Like, the sin that you committed yesterday, the sin that you will commit today, the sin that you will commit tomorrow, it all disconnects you from the Lord, and I guess the question is why? And that's what Gracie's going to talk about.
Hey. Isn't River awesome, first off? Like, isn't she great? So, most of us in here know the story of Adam and Eve, and if you don't, there was the 7 days where God created the heaven and the earth and everything on the earth and the universe and everything like that. And then he created Adam out of the dirt and breathed life into him. And then he took one of his ribs and created Eve. And so they lived in the Garden of Eden, but they had one rule. They could not eat from the forbidden fruit. That was the only rule that they had. Then the serpent came, which was the devil, and basically tricked Eve into eating the forbidden fruit. And they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and sin entered the world. Because they did that, they were no longer able to be in the presence of God. Because God used to walk around with them and talk with them and enjoy life with them. And once that happened, it could be no more. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. A lot of people think, oh, I'm covered. My sins were forgiven. I can do this little sin. No one will even notice. But the truth is, God notices. He notices you stealing something from a friend. He notices you talking bad about someone when they're not looking. He notices when you think no one is watching. Having no integrity is a surefire way to disconnect yourself from God. 2 Samuel 12:19 is when Nathanael is sent to Daniel to deliver a message after he killed Uriah the Hittite. So the Lord sent Nathanael the prophet to tell David this story. There were two men in a certain town, one was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb he had bought. He raised that little lamb and grew it up with his children. He ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day, a guest had arrived at the home of the rich man, but instead of killing an animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for a guest. David was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity. Then Nathanael said to David, you are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Amorites and stolen his wife. From this time on, your family will live by the sword because you have despised me by taking Uriah's wife to be your own. In some cases, we are like David. We take advantage of God's graces and disrespect him. Sometimes we need to stop and remember how God is the literal creator, period. He makes every flower grow, every sun rise, every sunset. He is the almighty, the unstoppable, and the all-loving. But also we need to remember how God is all-powerful. He is a merciful God, so we need to be grateful of everything he has done for us, but continue in his law and fear eternal death. For death is imminent without the presence of God. For he is our Savior and has saved us if we are willing to be saved. We have to accept his love and glory. It cannot be pushed upon us. You have to make the commitment. Yes, your sins are forgiven, but that doesn't give you the right to deliberately sin and go against God. Let's say you're with some close friends who care about you and love you so much. You're out on the water and you fall out of the boat. Your friends are obviously going to throw a life preserver at you. The rope only reaches so far, though, so you have to swim to it. Let's say you refuse your friend's help. What then? You can't swim that far to the boat. How are you going to save yourself? You can't. You can't save yourself without God. God knows you're going to fall into sin again, but even so, he is willing to get you out. Then, the second you leave God, because he never leaves, he can't save you. But when you turn to him for salvation and constantly stay in his word, your whole world will be saved.
Howdy again, y'all. All right. So, that being said, the point is, during this time of chaos in my life, goodness, during this time of chaos in my life, I turned to the Lord, and I found that peace in the community that I found here, in the vine, in all of the people that I've gotten to know, Gracie and I getting closer, in all of these new friendships that I've made, everything. And the Lord led me here. He led me to this peace that I found. So, I'll read a verse. Psalm 34, verses 4 through 7. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look up to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. And for me, it was about learning to trust the Lord, even when it felt like the world was shattering around you. And I think that that's something that my peers and I can all relate to. Whenever your hardships are becoming too much for you to bear, and you think, why? Why am I going through this? I thought the Lord loved me. And it's about reaching out. It's about wanting to reach out to the Lord, and learning to trust that the Lord will deliver you. Attempting to find peace in the face of all these hardships, it's hard, right? And staying faithful when you can't see the good ending, when you can't see the good outcome, is even harder. And that's where the peace comes into play. Psalms 34, verses 12 through 14. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. It's avoiding the sin, right? It's seeking the Lord and saying, save me. I love you. Save me. And reaching out and wanting it. And I'm sure we've all had an experience where you feel like the Lord isn't listening to you, or you've turned your back on the Lord. I turned my back on the Lord for 7 years, and I turned back, and he's still there, and he will always be there. So when you've turned the Bible cover to cover, and you're still not finding what you need to find, reach out to the Lord. Reach out to him directly. Because ultimately, you can read the Bible all day long, but it's about your heart and where your heart is at. So choosing good over evil and righteousness over sin is hard. It's hard, especially as a teenager in high school, whenever you see people around you doing things, and you know you should have integrity, and you know you shouldn't lie, and you know you shouldn't envy, and all of these things, but it's hard. It's hard to look at all of these things that you wish you had or wish you didn't have and not feel that way. But that's what separates us. Ultimately, the dilemma is this. Do you value worldly hardships and worldly things over the peace that the Lord provides? I don't, and you shouldn't either. The peace that the Lord can give you, the peace that the Lord will give you if you reach out, is worth more than you can find on earth.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, it was me. But seriously, it never even crossed my mind that I would ever get to see one of my kids preaching, let alone two of them. That was awesome. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is the peace that Jesus shows us. This is the peace of the Lord, and it is available to you. But you have to go to the Lord for it. If you want this peace, you need to take your burdens and your sin and you need to throw them at Jesus' feet and say, "Lord, save me." And those troubles will not go away immediately, but he will give you peace through them. That's what we need to remember. So let's stand and sing. If you need to make a decision for Jesus, make it today. There's no time to waste. If you want the peace of the Lord, come and receive it. Let's sing.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Verse.
Tender. matters.
It was so nice for me to go to church today, you know, and it was truly a blessing. I mean, I got here at 8 o'clock, and there was already 20 kids here. They weren't still asleep, but they were here, and they were happy to be here. Let me tell you about this group. You know, I see these kids, some of them walk here, some of them ride their bikes. Some of them have to work early, and they come to the 8:30 service, so they still go to church. So this is the future of the kingdom of God. And they don't make excuses why they're not at church. What about you guys? I mean, just think about it. sometimes they make me feel guilty for wanting to stay in the bed. But the reality is, we need these kids. And we are thrilled and blessed by them today. Amen. Right. So we're going to dismiss. I got one announcement. I promise I don't have a lot. Is next week, they're going to pack boxes for Samaritan's Purse for Operation Christmas Child and plan on showing up and participating afterwards. You know, you can, I got some more announcements for it next week, but if you are wanting to help, we'd be downstairs. I don't know how many boxes. 250 to 300 boxes, right. That's just a couple. And we're going to pack them, and I think they're going to feed you pizza. So plan on staying and helping. And parents, you need to stay with your kids and help them, too. So we want the kids to pack boxes so they see it. See, the idea is these kids grow up and do what we're doing, but they do it better than we did. Right? All right. I'm going to shut up now and get out of the way. Gracie, you going to dismiss us?
Yes. please bow your heads with me. Dear God, thank you so much for this day, and thank you so much for doing everything for us and letting us be able to be enwrapped in your love and your word. And please let us leave here and stay in that word and stay in your law and just praise you and bring the people around us closer to you, God. And in Jesus' name, amen.